Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called The Pack, and this week Pastor Josh Finkley explains how to speak like a wolf. Enjoy the message.
Everybody doing good today? You guys good? Are y'all ready to worship just a little bit today? Okay, because I'm going to preach a little while, and then we're gonna dive back into worship, because the message really today is a lot about worship, okay? So I'll get to that in a second. Some of you are new with us, and if you're new with us here in Conway, I want to welcome you. My name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors, and really excited that you're here today and that you're in this room. I know some of you are watching online, and wherever you're watching from, maybe you're local, maybe you're someplace across the nation, wherever you're from, we're glad that you're with us. And definitely invite you, if you're online, go to the Digital Connect Corner. If you're on campus, go to our physical Connect Corner. Stop by our Connect Corner, because we would love just to connect with you. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about this series that we're in called The Pack. And we started talking about it last week. And to get us into it this week, I just really want to ask a basic question as we begin. And here's the basic question, and you can answer it either by raising your hand or just by doing the thing that I ask. Have you ever howled at the moon? Okay, so those of you that just howled, that tells me you. Anybody else just want to raise your hand and say that you have? Okay, so several of it, like maybe you've howled at the moon, or maybe you've barked at the moon. Now, as soon as I say bark at the moon, some of you immediately started thinking about Ozzy Osbourne and that song, right? You're that age. Here's a fun fact for you. My wife, sweet little Miss Krista, one of her first concerts ever was Ozzy Osbourne, okay? Like, how crazy is that? She goes, Josh, it was crazy. I was the only person wearing pink at the entire concert. I'm like, really? You don't figure, okay? But anyway, so all of us, some of us, the extroverts definitely in the room, probably when you were a kid, maybe when you were older, you saw a full moon out there one night and you just started howling for the fun of it. And I actually started thinking about this with our staff this week. And I said, hey, has any of you ever howled? Like, I'd actually like to hear your how. They didn't know what I was doing. I just said, record it and send it to me. Well, if I have it, I might as well show it, right? So here is some of our staff, mostly our This Gen team, giving you their best impressions of howling. That is Maddie, who works with middle schoolers. Olivia, who works with little kids. Clay, of course. And that is this sexy man sitting up here in the front. Carter, like I don't know what was better, your eyes or your howl in that video. The hair, we had to cut that part out. If you want the extended version, ask me and I'll show it to you later, okay? But anyway, we started talking about howling, and today I want us to talk about howling, because we're going to talk about this idea of speaking like a wolf. And a wolf, when a wolf speaks, they will either growl or they'll howl. And we're going to talk a little bit more about growling next week, because next week we're going to talk about fighting like a wolf. And especially as Father's Day, we're going to really talk about it, like, as a man, how do you fight for your family? How do you fight for your people? How do you fight for your pack and to do it in a godly way? So we're going to leave that part of speaking like a wolf till next week, when we're talking about fighting like a wolf. And today we're just going to simply talk about it from a growling standpoint. From a howling standpoint. And when we talk about howling, what we're really saying is worship. Because as a Christian, the way that a Christian howls is in the way that they worship. And my big challenge to you today is simply going to be this, is to make worship a priority. That I want every one of us to make worship a priority. Maybe I could say it this way. I want you to make worship a priority both personally and as a pack. That you'll make it a priority in your person, that you'll say every day of the week, whether I'm at home or at church, I'm going to make worship a priority. And then as a pack, that we would make worship a priority as well. The question I'd like to ask is why? Like, I want to look at those of you in Conway. I want to look at those of you online. I want to look at those of you at Aynor. And right now, I want to ask as a whole across all of our campuses, why? Like, why should we make worship a priority? Because if you've come to church before, you've heard, like, we're gathering for worship, right? Even if you're brand new with this, like you've come into this assembly, you've come into this gathering, and you might say, well, why did they spend time singing? Why do they have a band? Why does this preacher get up and talk? Like why do we do that? Well, I would point it back to the same reason why wolves howl. See, a wolf howls to prepare itself and to rally the pack. Like, a wolf will howl to prepare itself personally for a hunt, and it will howl to rally a pack around whatever it is they want to do that day. And in the same way as followers of Christ, when we are worshiping, what we're doing is we're preparing ourselves personally and we're rallying the pack. Let's talk about this preparation first. Let's talk about this idea of when you worship, what you're actually doing is you're preparing yourself personally. And probably the easiest way and the best way for me to do that is just to go to the scriptures. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, it kind of shows us what it means to gather together for worship. And again, we've said this whole series is born out of what the first century church looked like and how they acted and how they worshiped and how they fought. So that's what I want us to do. I want us to go to this first century church and I want us to see what it means to worship. It says this in Acts chapter 2, all right? Now let me set this up. If you remember, if you were here last week, Acts chapter 1, Jesus said that I am going to come to you, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you, and he's going to empower you, so go and wait until I do that, and then you'll go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, all right? So that's where we find the early apostles. That's where we find those who are following Christ. There's probably, some people would say 120 total. Some people would say more like maybe 140 or so. But right around that number, this is what they're doing. It says this, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, here's what I want to do is I want to just take some time and across all of our campuses, I want to explain this verse. And I want to explain it because what this verse does is it helps us understand very personally why worship is important. And what this verse should do is help us understand that when we worship, it prepares us. And the verse starts by simply saying this, that all of the believers, all right, all of them, they were all gathered together, and it was a Sunday morning, and it was early. And right there, we see a premise, okay? We see a premise that the early church set for us, that the early church gathered and that they gathered early. All right, so I'm talking to you 8:30 people right now here. All right, y'all are a little more spiritual than everybody else, okay? Now here's my problem, all right? At our 11:30 service, people are way more awake. They talk back to me a whole lot more because the 8:30, you're like, I'm here, but I'm still waiting for the coffee to kick in, right? You're like, am I supposed to agree? Yes, okay. Right, but here's what I'm trying to say. We see this premise in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that we see that the early church, that what they did is they gathered. They came together. And when they came together, early in the morning. We know this because of what happens later in the verse, that they were together early. And when they gathered together early, that prepared them. Well, why? Well, because they're worshiping. And we don't know exactly what was going on before the Holy Spirit showed up, but we can imagine that they were praying. We can imagine that they were talking about what the Lord had done, what the Lord had said. We can imagine that they were breaking bread together. They were remembering Jesus. We can imagine all this because of what it says later in the chapter, all right? But what we know is as they're gathering, all of a sudden, you saw it in verse 2, it says that the Holy Spirit showed up. And when the Holy Spirit showed up, the Holy Spirit showed up as a sound of a windstorm. Now, I love the way Luke is trying to describe it. It's almost like he's using words that he doesn't even know how to say. He's like, well, all of a sudden there was a sound like a rushing wind. There was a sound like a giant windstorm. And then there was like this fire came into the room. Like fires that were like tongues that were kind of like resting on people's heads. And you can imagine these early believers, they're probably freaking out at the moment. They're like, what's happening? Is this the moment? Is this where the Holy Spirit's showing up? Is this the moment that Jesus talked about? And then all of a sudden, the Spirit went from resting on them to coming in them. And I think too many times we miss this as Christians because we're so focused on the cross and the resurrection, which is the most important thing, okay? Yet too many times we forget that Jesus said, listen, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to give you my presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just come around us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come on us. The Holy Spirit comes in us, and that's what makes it possible to live as a follower of Christ. That's what makes it possible. And in this moment, I want you to visualize what's going on. They're gathered together, and the Holy Spirit shows up. That's why worship is so important. That's why I want to challenge you to make sure worship is a priority for you personally. Because when you gather for a moment of worship, the Holy Spirit is present. That can be gathering with Him personally. Spending time in the morning before you go to school, spending time in the morning before you head to work, saying, I'm going to wake up a little early today because I want to spend some time with Jesus. I want to open up His word. I want to pray. I want to be committed to what He has to say because I want the Holy Spirit to show up in my life. That when we gather together as a church, we're inviting the Holy Spirit. Now, reality is this. This is the conundrum, can I say it that way? Like we don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to show up, right? Like if you are a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit is here. I'm gonna pick on a couple of you, all right? Jeff, I'm gonna pick on you because I know you can handle it. When you came in the building, the Holy Spirit came in the building because the Holy Spirit is in you. And Stephen, when you came in the building, the Holy Spirit came in the building. Now, He might have already been here because Jeff got here before you, okay? Yeah, okay, all right. But you see what I'm getting at. Like David, when you came in the building, the Holy Spirit came in the building because the Holy Spirit is in you. So it's not like we go, well, we got to pray that the Holy Spirit will show up today. No, the Holy Spirit's going to be here. But when you gather with other believers, what happens is the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit in you says, hey, let's have a party because we're all like-minded right now. And let's start focusing and allow the Holy Spirit to move. And what I want to see happen in your life personally is the Holy Spirit moving in your life because you realize, wow, I have the presence of Holy Spirit in me and around me. And what I'm saying right here in Conway holds true for those of you in Aynor as well, that when we gather, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit isn't there, though, just so that we can enjoy being in his presence. Like, I want you to enjoy being in his presence, but he's not there just so that you can enjoy being in his presence. See, when you worship and the Holy Spirit is there, he's there to prepare you. Let me go back to that verse. Let me teach it again. That the very next part of it says that the tongues came upon them, and then the Holy Spirit breathed in them, and then all of a sudden they started speaking in these unknown languages. That they started speaking a language that they had never studied. It would be like me, when we say speaking in tongues in that setting, it would be like me right now speaking Spanish. I can't speak Spanish. I don't know a lick of Spanish. I don't know if I've told you this one time, we bought a doll, I think it was for Abby when she was young. It was a Dora the Explorer doll, right? You remember those? And we pulled the little cord, this is for Christmas, and we pulled the little cord, or she pulled it when she opened it, and it started speaking Spanish. And I looked at my wife, and I was like, we bought the wrong doll. She's like, Josh, Dora speaks Spanish. I was like, okay. See, like, I couldn't speak it. But if I started speaking Spanish right now, then that would be 100% from the Holy Spirit, okay? I can promise you that. In that setting, that the Holy Spirit knew their purpose is to go out into the world and to proclaim the testimony of Jesus, so they needed to be prepared because the entire known world was gathered in Jerusalem at the time. Everybody was in Jerusalem, but everybody spoke different languages. So the Holy Spirit wanted to get the message of God out. So he empowered them for their purpose. He prepared them so that they could fulfill what it was that God was calling them to. And we see that in the very next verse. It's verse 5. It reads like this. It says, when they, now the they there means the people in the town, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and we all hear them. We all hear these people speaking in our own languages. How can this be? Because in worship, the Holy Spirit prepared them personally. Don't miss that. In worship, gathering together, focusing on Jesus in worship, the Holy Spirit prepared them personally so that they could fulfill their purpose. And what is their purpose? It's that next sentence. Heard them speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. About the wonderful things God has done. Let me just say this. We talked about this last week, that our purpose is to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you witness? You might go, I don't know what to say. Well, here's one thing to do. Just talk about the wonderful things God has done. Has God done anything wonderful in your life? I'm just curious. Done something wonderful in your life? For some of you, he saved you from the pits of hell. Well, like, it wasn't like you found your way out of hell. No, you were in the bottom, in the pits, in the mire, in the mud. And he came down and started digging through the mud and pulled you out. That's a wonderful thing God has done. For some of you, you are going through an extreme crisis. And as you were going through an extreme crisis, God showed up in your midst. He showed up and he comforted you. He counseled you. He carried you into the next season. For some of you, man, you've got a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, some kind of addiction that was wrecking your life. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he showed up and has done great things. Amen? Heard testimony this morning of somebody who's been clean and sober for 40 years. 40 years. He was actually here Thursday night. He's like, I got to come back because I got to give praise to God for the great things he has done. You want to know how to tell somebody about Christ? Just tell them about the great things he has done. The beautiful thing is the next verse tells us what else to say. Here, I'm just going to make it real simple for us. You want to know how to be that witness? Tell people about the great things he has done. Tell them what he has done. Tell people who he is. Look at the next verse. It's actually verse 36. Verse 36. It reads like this. Maybe not. Let me pull it up in my Bible. Verse 36 reads this way. It says, so let everyone in Israel know this for certain, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He is both Lord and Messiah. What has he done? Great things. Who is he? Lord and Messiah. You might say, well, what's that mean? Master and Savior. When you surrender to Jesus, what you're doing is you're saying, Jesus, you are my master and my savior. And then you can tell him who he is, you can tell him what he's done, and you can tell them, this is how you respond. Verse 38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That if you want to know, how do I fulfill my purpose? Well, first I go and I worship, because when I'm worshiping, I get prepared to fulfill my purpose. And then once I've worshiped, once that's happened personally, I can go out and I can tell people what God has done, who God is, and how they can respond to his free gift of grace through repentance and through baptism and through walking with him. That's why we worship. Because it prepares us personally. But it doesn't just prepare us personally, it also rallies the pack. And I'm gonna keep talking here and online, and I know Scott's gonna take over in Aner and talk about what it means to rally the pack. Because again, it's one thing if we worship and we get filled up personally and we're like, yes, I'm ready to go fulfill my purpose. But no one is designed to be a lone wolf. Can I say that again? No one is designed to be a lone wolf. And what I'm afraid of is some of you are running as a lone wolf. Some of you are running personally as a lone wolf. Some of you are running as a family as a lone wolf. That you're not teamed up in the pack. That you're not connected with others. And what we need to do is we need to come together as a pack, both like this and also as smaller teams. Because when we come together and worship as a pack, then what we can do is we can rally one another. And we see how the early church did this. We see how the early church rallied around the apostles' teaching. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says it this way. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let me break this verse apart. It starts this way, that the pack rallied together around the apostles' teaching. Now, what we would call the apostles' teaching is the Bible. Like especially the New Testament. If you open up the New Testament, those books were penned by the early church fathers, or you could say the early church apostles, that they were put in place because the early church, the apostles, taught about Jesus. They taught about the wonderful things he had done. They taught about who he was. They taught about how to follow him. So we have the entire New Testament and we can teach from it. And when we do, we rally around their teachings. And that's why this is so critical. If you ever go to church, if you ever have a friend going to church, and they are not preaching from God's word, if they are not focused on the apostles' teaching, tell them to leave. Tell them to leave. If you ever find yourself here, and anybody standing on this stage, at any of our other stages, in our this gen stages, and we're not talking to you about the word of God, leave. Leave. You're hearing it from me. Leave. Because we have zero value to offer you if we're not talking about the apostles' teaching. Because the apostles' teaching talks about the great things God has done, who he is, and how to follow him. And that's the reason it's so critical when we gather, that's what we're focused on. That we're focused on the apostles' teaching. That we're focused on what they said. That's the reason when you go into your kids' ministry today, or if you have kids in Kids Rock and you pull them out, you know what they're gonna say? They're gonna say, I learned today about how to share my faith from Acts chapter 2. Because what we're talking about is the same thing they're talking about. Because we rally around the apostles' teaching. We rally around the fellowship. Look at the next part of it. It says the fellowship, not around fellowship. Some translations will say it this way, that we rally around fellowship. But the better way to look at that Greek, the way it was written when it was first written, was the fellowship. It's one thing to gather, like, and to just have community. It's a whole nother thing to gather as a community and say, I am for you. I am for you. I am for you. I am for you. That I am committed to you. That we're committed to one another. That we're willing to walk alongside of you. That we're willing to say, I'm there for you, brother. I don't care what your past is, I'm there for you. I don't care what your skin color is, I'm there for you. I don't care what your socioeconomic status is, I'm there for you, because I'm committed to the fellowship. Because it's gonna take a pack to take care of all the wolves and all the pups. Right? I gotta be committed to the fellowship. I gotta be committed to the Lord's Supper. They worshiped, they rallied around the breaking of bread. We call that communion or the Lord's Supper. Well, like you've probably heard about it, because it happens every time we gather in worship, that we have communion at the front of the stage. There's not a rock experience that you can go to that doesn't offer communion. That every time we gather in worship, we're gonna have communion. And here's why. It's because that's how they rallied around one another. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. He took some juice and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, now anytime you eat bread, remember my flesh. He said, anytime you drink wine, remember my blood. And from that day forward, the church for years has gotten together and we've celebrated the Lord's Supper. We've remembered what Jesus did on the cross. We remember his body. We remember his blood. And it's a rally point. It's a rally point. Guys, I'll tell you right now, there is nothing special about the bread that is up here on the stage. I'll tell you right now, sometimes it's Hawaiian rolls. Sometimes it's leftover hot dog buns. It's Welch's grape juice. Ain't nothing special about it. But what is special is when you gather with other believers, when you gather with your family, when you gather with your pack, and you take that piece of bread and you remember the Lord died for me. And I drink that juice and I remember he poured out his blood for me on the cross. That is a unifying thing. That is a rally point. And the early church worshiped by looking at the teachings. They worshiped by being committed to the fellowship. They worshiped through the Lord's Supper, and they worshiped through prayer. That they said, God, we need you to intervene. We need you to intervene on behalf of my friend, on behalf of my family, on behalf of my community. God, we need you to move in the government, that the early church, that they prayed. They prayed for all those things. But each of those prayers, you know what it was rallied around? That your message will go out and that the name of Jesus will be glorified. And guys, I'll be honest. I think as a church, we miss this many times. I think we miss the value of prayer many times because we pray about our food. We pray about maybe a sickness that has come up. But we don't pray about the glorification of the name of Jesus Christ. We don't pray about my friends and my family members, my community, my leaders, my government officials, my teachers, my law enforcement. We don't pray that the Holy Spirit would move in their lives and that all people would come to a surrendered point of Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe you do, but I think as a church, we don't. And I'll tell you where this is really hurt. Is in 2020. I think we all remember 2020. And you know, the global church quit meeting for a little while. The global church. It wasn't just one of those things that for 8 weeks we didn't meet here physically and at the Rock. It was the global church. We were one of the fastest churches to start regathering. And we did because we knew the value and the rally point, and we said, we got to do it as soon as we possibly can. But I have friends that it was just recently they started gathering again. And again, it's not just a South Carolina thing. It's not just a U.S. thing. It was a global situation. And the Church of Jesus Christ globally quit gathering. And you know what happened? Satan had a war. Satan brought in disunity, division, and destruction to the global church. I can't tell you how many of my friends who are pastors are no longer pastors because they threw in the towel because of 2020 and what was going on in their church. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because as a church, we forgot how valuable it is that we rally. So here's the challenge. Make it a priority. Don't say, well, are we going to church this week? No, that should never be the question. The question should always be, how and when are we going to church this week? How and when am I gathering for worship this week? At 5:30 in the morning before I head to work, that's how and when I'm going to worship the Lord this week. That at noon when I'm praying, that's how and it's when. On Tuesday nights when I'm gathering with some other believers, that's how and when. On Sunday mornings, whether I'm gathering here or even online. Now listen, let me talk to those of you online real quick and I'll be done. If you're online by yourself and missing the pack, you need to get in. If you're online and you're like, I can't be in the crowd right now, no problem. But don't be separated from the pack. Sit with your family. Gather some of the people that you are still in community with. Gather them in the room because whether you're 10, 100, or 1,000, we're still gathering. And if at all possible, get into the pack because there's just something that happens when we take communion together. There's something that happens when we start singing. You guys have seen it. Tyler, you have a front row seat every week. Your eyes can see how just the Holy Spirit moves. So let's let the Holy Spirit move. Will you make room for him right now? Will you make room for him right now, maybe as you take communion? Will you make room for him right now where maybe you say, I need to follow Jesus. I want to repent. I want to ask God for forgiveness. I'm going to take a step of baptism because I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Are you going to talk to somebody at the prayer corner and say, man, I just need prayer right now. I need somebody to rally around me. Are you going like a lone wolf and you're like, I got to get committed to the fellowship. Let's make room for Christ right now. And let's worship because it'll prepare you personally and it will rally the pack. What do you think, church? You with me? Let's do this. Let's worship. Let's worship. Let's worship.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.